Evening. So I'm thinking about some of my colleagues who will often say that they're church nerds, and I think you don't take this job unless you're a bit of a church nerd. I love the physicality of our worship, of our communal worship together. And what do I mean by that? I mean, the things that we do throughout the service, throughout the liturgy, you know, little things. We reverence the cross when we enter the room, some of us cross ourselves at different times during the service. We may get down on our knees when we pray. And other times we stand up together to pray, to lift those prayers up together. So I love that tangible part of worship as we gather together. The Maundy Thursday service, this service, our celebration of the Last Supper, is perhaps the most physical liturgy of the year. It is a physical embodiment of the story of the final hours in Jesus' life as he gathers with the people that he loves most in the world to celebrate Passover, to gather around the table together, to share a meal. And during this service, we will embody. We will embody so many pieces of the story. You know, we will wash one another's feet. We'll celebrate communion together. We will strip the altar as a reminder of how Jesus will be stripped naked and humiliated and made vulnerable at his crucifixion. And it's all very dramatic. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke's version of this story, the same story we read in 1 Corinthians, foreshadowing his death, Jesus took the bread and he broke it, right? The breaking of the bread. And he says, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. When you do this, do it in remembrance of me." And then he takes the cup of wine again. He says, "This cup is the new covenant poured out in my blood. Whenever you drink this, do this in remembrance of me." It's quite beautiful. And we say those words every Sunday. And tonight is the genesis of those words. And it is a reminder, just as all of the physical actions that we take are a reminder of us of where we are and what we're doing, where we need to focus our attention. It is a reminder to us of the love that Jesus has for us and the sacrifice that he makes for us. In the John version of the Last Supper that we read tonight, we get the next part of the story. The first line of the passage reads, and I love, "Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from the world." Jesus knew what was coming. We know what's coming, right? And it lends a solemnity to this celebration, this Passover meal. I read an article by Diana Butler Bass the other day, and she said, and I thought this was interesting, hadn't thought about it in this way, but that we see Maundy Thursday from the experience of Good Friday, right? We know what's coming, and so it changes how we think about Maundy Thursday, how we perceive. We know the violence and the heartbreak of tomorrow. I would go further to say that by extension, we also see Good Friday through the experience of Easter Sunday. We see it allows us to blunt the pain of that day, to soften the horror and the violence of the crucifixion, and we tend to want to jump directly to Easter Sunday by passing the critical experience, the real world and human experience of Good Friday. We have, as Jesus had, insight that the disciples and others in that room, around that table, didn't have. They came to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover, a joyous holiday celebrating the Hebrews' liberation from slavery, as Lindy read to us in the story from Exodus, right? right? The passing over, the sparing of the firstborn of the Israelite children on the eve of the Exodus. And it's meant to be a joyful celebration. But there's an undercurrent of tension. Things are not entirely okay. And the disciples don't know. They don't have that same insight that we have. But there's a sense that something's happening. Jesus returned to Jerusalem to great fanfare, and there begins to be a frenzy of people and stories talking about all that Jesus has done, specifically talking about the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And the Pharisees are becoming decidedly uncomfortable, and Jerusalem is not feeling very safe. And there's a lot of drama that drives Jesus and his followers to this room, to this place where they can kind of be together without really knowing what is coming next, but knowing and feeling that uneasiness. But Jesus knew. Jesus knew that his hour had come. He knew that this was his last truly private time with the people that he loved most in the world. There is a beautiful line. It always moves me. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. His heart is full of love for those gathered around that table. He loves them completely and always and unconditionally. He loves Judas, even though he knows that he will betray him. He loves Peter, even though Peter will deny him three times. His love is not conditional, but absolute, and his heart is full. When they finish the meal, Jesus stands up and takes off his robes, and he ties a towel around his waist and pours water into a basin and begins to wash their feet. In those days, it was a custom that the servant of the host would wash the guests' feet when they arrived at the house, right? Imagine dirt roads, they were wearing sandals, they mostly walked everywhere they went, so their feet were pretty disgusting, I would say, pretty dirty. It wasn't a pleasant job, certainly not something the host would do. It was work for the servant. But Jesus humbles himself and takes on the role of the servant, down on his knees, washing the dirty feet. Peter resists. It isn't seemly for their Lord to humble himself in this way. But Jesus insists. So picture Jesus down on his knees, lovingly washing the feet, gently drying them. It is an act of pure love and care. One by one, he goes around the room in this act of love, washing and drying their feet. Each of the disciples have this private moment with Jesus that evening, when they know they are loved and cared for absolutely and unconditionally. Even Judas can feel Jesus' love and knows that he is loved to his core. When Jesus is done, he stands up and he puts his robes back on and he sits back down at the table and he says, I am your teacher and your Lord. If I can wash your feet, then you ought to be washing each other's feet. That's the example that I've set for you. Then he breaks the news to them, subtly perhaps, I don't know. And he says these words, little children, I'm only with you a little longer. I'm only with you a little longer. This is the time. This is the moment. Knowing that this is his last real moment with his followers, he gives them the final commandment. The mandatum, which is where we get the term Monday, Thursday, in case you were wondering that. What does that even mean, right? The commandment, the most important words that he will leave them with. If you remember nothing else, remember this. Love one another. As I have loved you, you should love one another. And people will know that you're my disciples by how you love one another. Do you realize that that's the first time that Jesus tells his disciples that he loves them? That's powerful. He talks about God's love and God's love for the world. But this, in this night, in this moment, it's personal. It's not about the world. It's not about Israel. It's not about some distant God. It is about Jesus and each and every one of them. As I have loved you, John and James and Andrew and Judas and Peter. As Jesus has loved them, as Jesus loves you and me. And because we are so loved, we are called to love one another. Jesus offered his love to his disciples through his actions and his words. One by one, he gently washed their feet, working his way around the room, leaving no one out. A loving act. And then he gave them the great commandment to love, speaking those incredible words, as I loved you. The final gathering in Jesus of those he loved most in the world provides us with a poignant, sweet reminder of how we are to live in the world, how we're to treat one another, to lovingly humble ourselves, to care for one another, and to love one another to the end. Even with all of our imperfections and the ways that we hurt one another. Love one another as I have loved you. So this evening, we will not reenact, but embody the washing of the disciples' feet, an act of loving care. It is vulnerable. But if you open yourself to the experience, you may find that you are deeply moved. This is the power of our liturgy, a physical reminder of the story, a physical reminder of Jesus' love for his people and Jesus' love for each of us and our love for one another.